Amen. We want to invite kiddos, if you'd like to be a part of children's worship, you're welcome to be a part of that this morning. They're going to head back that direction. I think you've already checked in folks back at the corner table for that, if you needed to do that, and have that available. Kelsey, thank you for helping sign folks in this morning. It's awesome having additional volunteers working through some of those kind of things, helping people get checked in through our security process, all that kind of stuff for kiddos. We'll remind you, too, one other thing you'll see in the bulletin is we are checking on a few extra workers. You might be able to take some turns in the nursery with us, and so we'd love to have you kind of check out that info as well. I hope that you are doing well this morning. I hope you've had a good weekend. We've had a very nice weekend. Got to have some relaxing time yesterday, ran a few errands, those kind of things. We did make the mistake, however, of going into the new Menards store. We went into the one on West Sunshine. We did pretty well. We had a list. We stuck mostly to that as we went into that store. But it is so easy when you're walking around that gigantic store. First of all, I think we were there just over 2 hours. Wow. And just wandering the aisles. And so, but you start seeing stuff, and everything you're seeing, oh, yeah. You know, we could tear that up in the house and replace that, and you could put that over there. And you start seeing all this, well, what if we did this? And then, if we had that, then we could also get, and when you start playing this what's next game, right? You kind of, what's the next project? What's the next thing you're going to take care of? What else do you need to do? Maybe you see something that reminds you, just something you think you need to kind of work on. And so often in our life, we can kind of start thinking that, okay, now we got to do this next spot. We got to get to this next spot on the ladder. We got to get to this next spot in a progression. We got to get this next spot maybe in our job or this next thing with a family. And sometimes we have this idea that, man, for me to grow, it always means I have to go someplace else. I've got to do something different. I've got to be around other people. I've got to... And folks, this morning, I want to step back from all of that. As we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I want to see that sometimes God calls us to grow without a go. We're going to grow right where we are. And he's placed us right where we are for a reason. And as he calls us to right where you are, sometimes that's for you to grow right there and to minister to folks right there. And so you're going to hear Paul in 1 Corinthians 7, he's going to say this over and over again. So I've got to... fairly good feeling you're going to get the theme of the sermon pretty quick, even into the scriptures. As you start to dive into 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I would love for you to turn there. We're going to be in verse 17. If you happen to use the YouVersion Bible app on your phone, we are trying to improve some of our tech coordination here, and I'm just going to give you a quick tutorial. Ethan had to teach this to me, okay? So thank you, Ethan. If you are using the YouVersion Bible app, I think there is a spot for you to select more on one of your tabs and be able to see other options, and you will either have something called locations or events. And if you pull up locations or events in there, you should see the Road Church showing up as one of your options. As you click on that, you'll get our bulletin is available to you, plus the Bible passage is available to you, or at least the first verse of it, because I'm still learning how to put it in there. And I think next week, sermon notes will actually be in there for you guys too, and some other things there. And I think there's also ways for you to kind of share that. And so we'll try to connect. I know a lot of you, I think we were kind of learning that the majority of our folks were using that YouVersion app, and so we're going to try to make some other things available to you guys there. And plus, if you're like me, as soon as I leave here, I can't find the bulletin again. I've lost it already. You know that at least that information is also there for you too. All right. Enough of the announcement style of stuff this morning. Let's get into God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I'm going to read in verse 17. We've been walking our way through 1 Corinthians, and last week we had a lot of instructions kind of on marriage and remaining there for the glory of God, remaining in your marriage, of the works that God wants to do through that, and now he's going to keep applying that theme to some other areas. So verse 17, let each one live his life in the situation the Lord assigned when God called him. This is what I command in all the churches. Was anyone already circumcised when he was called? He should not undo his circumcision. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? He should not get circumcised. Circumcision does not matter, and uncircumcision does not matter. Keeping God's commands is what matters. Let each of you remain in the situation in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Don't let it concern you. But if you can become free, by all means take the opportunity. For he who is called by the Lord as a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called as a free man is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Have we heard that one before? You are bought at a price. Do not become slaves of people. Brothers and sisters, each person is to remain with God in the situation in which he was called. Jumping right on into this, folks. Number one for this morning. The Lord assigned your situation, so don't doubt it. Another way you might say that, the Lord assigned your situation, so don't doubt him either. Don't doubt him and where he's placed you. The Corinthian church seemed to have a little bit of pride going on that their situations were unique. And we've talked about their culture. We've talked about their views on marriage. We've talked about their views on sexuality that were just all over the map. And so I think the Corinthian church had written to Paul and had asked him some questions. And in those questions, they had kind of asked this, hey, because we're so difficult, because it's so challenging here, because of the culture we're in, because of all these excuses, you might say, or special circumstances, shouldn't we have special circumstances? Shouldn't we have special exemptions, maybe, or exceptions for them? Boy, I don't know about you, but I play that game quite a bit, right? You ever play that game? Oh, well, if because of my schedule, because of how busy my schedule is, I should get some exceptions on some of these other things. You know, if God really understood how busy I was, he'd understand why I can't get my devotional time in on a regular basis, right? We maybe kind of use some of those things, you know. Maybe we play this game, maybe as a teenager. You might say, man, if God realized how hard it is to be a teenager today, how could he expect me to remain sexually pure? You know, some people may kind of have those thoughts. Or pastor, you don't understand the job and the responsibilities I have. If I had a different job, I could really grow in the Lord and serve better. And we kind of sometimes have these thoughts that, oh, we ought to get a special exception because of the situation that God has placed us in, that God has assigned us into. Now, when we're on the positive swing, and if we were just real honest, folks, all of us kind of swing, right? Some weeks we're really positive and we take that spin on everything, and other weeks we're kind of on the negative side and we kind of take that spin on stuff, okay? And if God's really kind to you, you and your wife are never on the same swing at the same time, right? That way you balance each other out. That's kind of a good thing. But sometimes when we're on the real positive side and we kind of have a challenge come at us, we love to go and grab those Bible verses, you know, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? We're ready to just, if it's something we've picked out, you know, man, okay, I'm ready to take on that challenge because I've picked it out. Or maybe we think about somebody else and we're trying to encourage them, and we're telling them that great verse out of Esther in chapter 4, I believe, in it, when Mordecai, I believe, is speaking to Esther and says, and who knows, but perhaps you've come to your royal position at such a time as this. You know, it's kind of like that, yeah, right here, right now, I'm ready for it, Lord. We do that when we're on that positive swing. When we do that when we're on that spot where we're like, yeah, I can take it on, we're good. But man, so often we want to also be on the other side, and on the negative side, we go, oh, not right now. I just couldn't. There's no way. This is too tough. There's too many different things going on here, Lord. The Lord assigned it, that situation that he's called you in, where he's gotten a hold of your heart, maybe even. He's assigned that. So don't doubt it. Don't doubt him. Paul says, back to the Corinthian church, he says, these are God's instructions for everybody, not just you in a unique situation. I'm saying this to all the churches. I'm teaching this to all the believers. So sorry, Corinth. Sorry, Road Church. We don't get special exemptions. Thankfully, the Lord is dealing with us as he deals with all. In his mercy and his grace, he's dealing it. With every assignment, and you might say that's a situation, you might say it's a location, you might say it's a challenge that God has assigned you to. With every assignment, we always have the promise of God's presence, of God's power, and God's peace. God is not going to set you in a situation where he is not still going to provide those things. And so then Paul kind of applies this to a couple of certain areas. First one is a circumcision question, okay? I might say that this is kind of that outside pressure on our life. It's that outside pressure of, oh, do I need to conform to this? What will other people think of me because of this? And so in that culture at that time, we've got folks who have been circumcised because they thought they needed to do that as a Jew. And of course, they were supposed to do that under God's instructions, under the Old Covenant, under Mosaic Law. They were to do that to be identified as one of God's people. And so some people were kind of teaching, hey, you still need to do that. Even if you're a Christian, you're a Christ follower, you need to do that. And of course, there were sometimes some conversations whether that was necessary or not. You also had some folks who had chosen to do that and then After doing that, they didn't want to show others basically that they had done that, that they had given into that pressure to conform to that when they've learned now it wasn't needed. So, oh, wait a minute, I don't want to have done that, so I want to undo the... Gentlemen, can we just get really uncomfortable here for a moment? Okay? All right? Imagine after going through the pain of circumcision because you thought it was necessary to be accepted by a group of people, that then you change your mind and you decide to be accepted by another group of people, you're going to have it undone. Just put it back in your mind, okay? When we're talking about circumcision procedure, we're not talking about over here at Cox or Mercy, okay? In the Old Testament, there is a messed up story where Jacob, one of his daughters, Dinah, I believe, was raped, okay? She was raped by a man named Shechem. He was outside of their families. He was outside of the descendants that they were to be marrying and taking husbands and wives for. He had raped her, but he also did very much care for her, loved her. He wanted her as a wife. So Jacob worked out with his people, the Hivites, that, okay, since you are unclean people, if you will take on our God, if you will be circumcised, you can have my daughter. So they arrange for that. The men of of Shechem's village are all circumcised. While they are still lying around in pain, 3 days later, two of Dinah's brothers decide to take their revenge. And 3 days later, the two men go into the village and wipe out all of the men of that village because of the way they have shamed their sister, okay? It's a crazy messed up story, but I want you to catch this. After circumcision, 3 days later, two guys take out a village of guys because they're still laying around not able to do much. And yet because of peer pressure, because of what you're afraid other folks would think, because of wanting to be accepted by folks, some men in Corinth were saying, I've already done it, and now I'm going to get it undone. Can we just say an amen, thank you, Lord, that we do not have to be circumcised, okay? It's a good thing. With every assignment, we have the promise of his presence, his power, his peace. We don't have to meet others' standards. Was this a situation where they're thinking, oh, I've got to do this? No, you can grow as you are. God says that situation doesn't have to be changed for you. That's an outside situation putting pressure on them. Or maybe there's an internal pressure. Just you yourself are putting pressure on yourself. And he kind of applies this to a slavery issue. And as he, in the verses that we just read, you know, he's looking at a slave. And would a slave be thinking, well, I can't follow Christ. I'm a slave. I'm not worthy to follow Christ, or I won't have the opportunities to follow Christ. And there's this question of wow, or maybe it's a different pressure. Maybe it's the total opposite. I'm a Christian now. I'm too good to be a slave. And we're dealing with kind of these internal thoughts of who they are. In verse 21, we just read, Paul says about slavery, it should not be a concern to you. It shouldn't be a concern to you. Yes, slavery was very different in Paul's world, very different than some of the horrors we think about in our own nation's history, but it still wasn't great, folks. It wasn't great. And Paul's saying to them, Christians shouldn't be concerned with changing their outward circumstances or even the perception of themselves. That shouldn't be our number one priority. We want to be sure we don't make Christianity just a social issue. We don't want to make Christianity just a social justice issue either, okay? Our number one priority in falling in love with Christ, falling in love with God, loving him with our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole body, our whole soul, our number one priority in that is for us to keep revealing him. We need to keep the commands of God. Verse 19 that we read, keeping God's commands, being obedient is what's important, not these situations, not an outside pressure, not an internal pressure, it's keep his commands. Our number one priority is to reveal and proclaim Christ in whatever condition we're in. Whatever condition we're in. Your obedience to Christ in your current situation is more important than the situation. As hard as it is to understand, North Carolina and surrounding areas. Their obedience to Christ is still more important than the situation they are in. Chinese Christians in a nation that is cracking down on Christianity, their obedience to Christ is more important than governmental revolution. Our obedience to Christ, our revealing of his love for us and our love for him, our revealing of the gospel message is more important than trying to change the conditions that maybe you're in personally or even the conditions of the society. Let's get on to number two. That means coming, looking into verse 17 and even to verse 19, your obedience matters more than your status or situation. Verse 19 reminds us that being concerned about your status is what makes you a slave. Not the fact that you are a slave, because you can be free in Christ as a slave, but if you are concerned and your mind is just overwhelmed by these thoughts of who you are there as a slave and what the conditions are around you, that's what is enslaving you as far as Christ is concerned. If God called you in that situation, he tells you also that he is with you in that situation. I want to reread verse 24. Brothers and sisters, each person is to remain with God in the situation in which he was called. If God called you there, he's there. Remain with God. Is it possible that when we sometimes are playing that next game, when we're playing that, oh God, where will you take me now? Now that I've grown a little bit, where are you going to take me job-wise? God, where are you going to take me maybe in career-wise? Where are you going to take me? Where else do I need to live? What mission field are you sending me to, Lord? And we start thinking through all those things. Is it possible when we start thinking, God, I got to go someplace else, we would actually risk leaving God because we think we've got to chase next instead of chasing him. We want to be sure we stay right where his special presence has been calling us. And pastors come and kind of have those conversations at times, talk through things. You know, you ever hear the phrase, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence? Many, many years ago, I had a wise mentor speak into me and says, yes, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence because there's more manure over there. And sometimes that's very, very true. And we need to remember that. We don't need to look for next. We need to ask, God, what conditions, what situation in my life will allow me to serve you the best? What conditions will allow me to reveal you the best? What situation will allow other people to see Christ in me the best? Those are great questions. Sometimes they have scary answers. Sometimes they're difficult situations that are the answers to those questions. It's not necessarily what conditions would I like the most. It's not what's the best pay. It's not what's the biggest platform. It's not maybe what's the best work schedule. It's not maybe what's the best. It's we're asking God, what allows me to do that number one priority, which is to reveal you and to see you. I'm going to say two sides, two different sides of the same coin, okay? And you might hear this, you might say, Dan, you are talking out of both sides of your mouth. Yes, I probably am here. But I think the Bible teaches both of these elements of the way God works. And I would ask for you to pray discernment. If you're kind of concerned about a situation you're in, a condition your life is in, I would ask you to pray which one of these applies to you. Because I think in our life, both of these are going to apply to us at different times, okay? The tools a craftsman has to use to chisel stone are a lot harsher than the utensils of a potter working with clay. Do you get what I'm saying there? Sometimes we're in difficult conditions because it's going to take a difficult condition for God to shape our heart, for God to get our attention, for God to chisel away an attitude, for God to shape us into who he wants us to be. Sometimes that's because of us. But sometimes he's also hardening us into instruments or tools he needs us to be for a difficult God-glorifying work. Sometimes you're going through a difficult patch because God's using that to build into you a strength and a courage and a understanding of what other people maybe have gone through in their lives too, so that we can comfort others with the comfort we've received, so that we can be the instruments he wants us to be. Now, I don't know which one you may be living in right now, and maybe you're kind of in between them right now, but I would ask that. God, is this a difficult situation because you're working on me? Or is this a difficult situation because you're strengthening me to be available maybe to others in some way? In other words, we need to be more concerned about Christ changing us than Christ changing our situation. I know what my prayers typically sound like. How about yours? God, would you change them? God, would you change this? God, would you change me? Would you change me? A relationship with Christ is compatible with any social status. You can be a Christian slave. You can be a Christian businessman. You can be a Christian stay-at-home mom or dad. You can be a Christian president. We're not talking, when we say these kind of things, folks, let me be clear, and whatever that job or career is, we're not talking about ones that are immoral or unethical or illegal. We're talking about things that are morally neutral. You can be a Christian in any of those statuses, any of those situations. And because you are a Christian, as Christ transforms you from the inside out and you strive to love him better in your obedience towards him, that makes you a better slave. That makes you a better boss. That makes you a better spouse. That makes you a better teacher. Whatever that condition or that spot is that you are in, where God has placed you. I want to be very clear. There are social issues, there are social causes that God has called us to be involved in. We need to be ministering to those in need. We need to be taking care of widows and orphans. We are called to do that. That's an example of what true religion is that James tells us about, okay? But nowhere do those ever raise to the level to say that's our number one priority beyond revealing who Christ is. And they don't ever rise to the level either where we are called to overthrow authorities in order to change a society. The Corinth church is sometimes almost asking, hey, are we supposed to start a revolt? Folks, the best revolutions begin because Christ has changed hearts, not because people are trying to change societies. We want to be sure that we are more concerned about Christ changing us than changing our situation. You can be a Christian in any society. It's a relationship with Christ. In our passage from last week in verse 15, we're reminded that God had called us to peace. That's a big principle. And so, folks, this number one, which is the main point of the whole sermon, okay? Number two and three are going to happen real quick at the end. This whole thing is an evangelism issue. It's an evangelism issue. When God saves you, he is most likely calling you. Let me back this up. When God saves you, who is he most likely calling you to witness to? He's most likely calling you to witness to the people you've been around right before you got saved. You already know them. You already have relationships with them. And when God is changing your life, who's going to notice that the most? The people you've already been around, who will see God at work in you and wonder what is going on in their life. We don't need to abandon everyone and join the church club. Now, you may need to rework some friendships and the places you go, and the ways you do those things so that you are protecting yourself and protecting your witness, and you're doing it in a wise way that you won't be influenced more by those individuals than by either believers or by Christ at work in you. But folks, when God calls us to be saved, we need to look around at the other folks that are around us at that point, and we need to say, I've been called to them. God's called me here. God's called me in this group of people. He's obviously at work in this group of people. How do I join him? And that was one of our themes at the beginning of this year. How will I join God in what he's already doing in 2018? If God's at work in your life, that means he's at work where you are. How will you join him where you are? What should a church like the Road Church look like? It should look like you. If you've got tattoos, please witness to those with tattoos. If you serve with dads on the watchdog team at school, please witness to watchdog dads. If you're a mom in various mom organizations, please witness to the moms in those organizations. The Road Church and the vision of the Road Church is to live missionally. meaning Christ goes with us and we glorify Christ wherever we are, whatever the task is. We don't turn off the Christian switch just because we exited out these doors at the end of Sunday or on Wednesday night we left the church building we were in. Christ goes with us. His power, his presence, his peace goes with us. So it goes to our coworkers. He goes to our neighbors because we go to them. The Road Church should look like you and me becoming more like Christ and others who are like us becoming more like Christ. And I'll back up one more time. Christianity is not against societal change. The Bible is not against you having progress in your life or in your career. God is for you. He is also for this world. He's just giving, Paul is giving us applications from God's message of how we make sure we have our priorities right through that. Applications of physical conditions, maybe to peer pressure ones. He's given us applications to things that are out of our control, freedom or slavery. And now he's going to even give us some application to conditions we might choose to place on ourselves. And we're going to see that all of these things are just opportunities for us to still glorify God in it. Would you do another passage with me? Would you read along with me? Still in chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians. I want to do verses 25 down through 31. We're not going to finish this whole chapter. We're going to finish it as far as sermons are concerned. There's a lot of other unique applications specific to some marriage things and marriage questions I'll highlight here, but we won't actually read the rest of the chapter. I'm going to read 25 down through 31, though. In verse 25, by the way, folks, when we get to verse 28, married people, do not amen. I'm rescuing you here for a moment. I'm protecting you. That is not the verse to amen after, okay? Verse 25, now about virgins. I have no command from the Lord, but I do give an opinion as one who, by the Lord's mercy, is faithful. Because of the present distress, I think it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be released. Are you released from a wife? Do not seek a wife. However, if you do get married, you have not sinned, and if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But such people will have trouble in this life, and I am trying to spare you. Verse 29. This is what I mean, brothers and sisters. The time is limited. So from now on, those who have wives should be as though they had none. Those who weep as though they did not weep. Those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy as though they didn't own anything. Those who use the world as though they did not make full use of it. For this world in its current form is passing away. All right, let me hit verse 25 for a second. I'm going to walk through this for a moment and give you a couple other odds and ends out of this for a second, okay? Verse 25. Now about virgins, I have no command from the Lord. We talked about that phrase last week. I want to re-mention it. What Paul is saying is Jesus has not taught on this, but as one who is a trusted servant, by one whose the Lord's mercy is faithful, I am faithful to the Lord, I am able to speak on this for you. Okay? Some weird commentators will tell you, oh, see, Paul's telling him this isn't from God, this is just Paul's opinion. Folks, God still inspired it cover to cover. Okay? Because of the present distress, I think it's good for a man to remain as he is. Once again, stay in that situation. Don't have to release a wife. Don't have to, okay? However, if you do get married, you're going to have trouble in this life. I'm trying to spare you. Married people, in an honest way, is marriage sometimes tough? You're going to have trouble. Paul also could have said, hey, if you remain single, you're going to have trouble in this life, okay? But there are some things about the ways that we have to give ourselves, and we should, in modeling Christ's love for the church, the ways we give ourselves to our spouses, that also makes for some challenges for us. And so that's things that we are continuing to grow in. There's also things because of our society that there are pressures on marriage that's not on single folks. And so there are some things, there are challenges there. He's given us this instruction, again, stay as you are. But if that changes, you haven't sinned. If it's appropriate, okay, if you're marrying in the Lord, if you're following the commands of Christ as far as how marriage should remain or permissions for it to be dissolved, okay, you haven't sinned. So number three, what we see from these verses, folks, orient your heart and your desires around eternity first. Those verses we read in 29 down through 31, okay, this is an excuse for you to treat your wife poorly. It's not, okay, those who have wives should live as though they don't. Don't ignore your wife, guys, because of this verse. It's saying that in the scope of eternity, We need to have eternity on our mind and our relationship with Christ and our eternal destination in Him is still bigger than your marriage. We've been talking about that in several different angles, several different pieces, but that is a big deal for us. Yes, your marriage is vitally important, but it's a picture of your eternal relationship with Christ, which is even more important. This connection to your stuff, buying stuff, no, live as though you don't have anything. Place eternity first in your heart. God didn't save you to change your earthly destination. God saved you to change your eternal destination. We need to remember that, folks. One of my favorite preachers and authors, Matt Chandler, says about this passage, he says, "There is a future that we are closer to now than we've ever been, and we need to orient our souls around that future." Folks, there's good news there. Don't take this a negative spin, okay? There's good news. Today, I'm closer to eternity than I was yesterday. Today, I am closer to seeing Christ face to face than I was yesterday. Let's just keep on marching forward. You may hear a clock ticking in the background, and folks, that is not a clock counting down. That is a clock looking forward. We're closer to the eternity that God has planned for us, but He's got a plan for us in the situations that we're in. In verses 32 down through 35, I'm not going to read these, but Paul starts to apply these to singles as well, who are going to have less divisions of their attention. So they're able to have that focus maybe a little bit more on eternity first in some ways. Paul goes on in even verses 36 down through 40, the end of the chapter, talking about marriage, that some decisions are left up to you. There's these kind of weird phrases in those verses about trying to decide if the virgin should be married or not. And some folks understand it to be talking about maybe a woman who's betrothed, and in light of the pressures, should they go ahead and still get married? They're kind of already engaged. Or is it maybe a father who's got a virgin daughter who's getting past the marrying age, and should he still try to marry her off, or should he keep her and let her just live for the Lord, essentially, and have that be her number one? In those questions, Paul says, you have freedom. You haven't sinned. But keep eternity first. Keep devotion to the Lord first. That's the number one priority. Orient our hearts and our desires around eternity first. So finally, then number four. Don't wait for your situation to change to fully serve the Lord. Have you ever played the game, well, God, when I get past this, then I can turn this portion of my life over to you. God, when we get past this, when this thing changes in our heart, God, when I get out of college, then I'll get back into church and then I'll start serving. Lord, once we get married and have a family established, then I'll kind of get, God, when I get out of high school, then I'll, don't wait for your situation to change to fully serve the Lord. We want to grow and go nowhere. Grow right where you are. Grow where you're planted. God has set you there for a reason. Now, yes, does He sometimes speak into us and say, yes, I'm taking you, I'm moving you on, I've got something else that's going to happen? Yes, He sure does. But I tell you what, we will rarely hear that if we don't learn to grow where we are first. We will probably not grow at all instead. Don't wait for your situation to change to fully serve the Lord. Habakkuk, an Old Testament prophet, understood this. He was writing at a time of national upheaval. There's incredible social injustice going on around him. There's all sorts of things that probably should have caused revolts going on around him. And he writes in Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. This is what he says. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there is no fruit on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though the flocks disappear from the pen and there are no herds in the stalls, yet I will celebrate the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. If you think you have to wait until something on your relationship status, on your social media changes, in order for you to serve the Lord, you're going to miss out. You're missing out on the joy of God right where you are. Habakkuk's looking around him. It's a famine. There's all sorts of problems. I will celebrate the Lord. The joy of the Lord is available in every situation, folks, because the Lord is available in every situation. Are you free? Then you're free to be a slave to Christ. Are you a slave? Then remember, you are free in Christ. Your soul can't be tied down. Your soul can't be tied down. And yet a king or a president can be held captive by his own sin and his own desires. We need that freedom in Christ. I think the way we relate to this stuff, folks, is very similar to a crazy illustration, and I'm going to share a video here with you in just a second, okay? And it's the idea of, are we stuck in our situation, or are we responding to our situation the way God would have us respond to it? And so there's this weird material out there, and those of you who are real physics folks, I think it's called non-Newtonian something or other. Thank you, fluid, thank you. I should lean on my high school science kids. Yeah. It's a lot of cornstarch and water. Check this out for just a second, okay? That may be the weirdest thing you've ever seen on a Sunday morning, but it connects perfectly, folks. The situation you're in, you can either be stuck in it because you're going nowhere, or you can keep growing and moving as God's calling you to in that situation. That fluid stuff, it's like two parts cornstarch, one part water. Sometime I want to do that, figure out how we can make a big pool of it. And if you walk and you keep moving, you can walk right across it. And if you stand still, you will sink into it. And when you sink into it, you can't even hardly pull your feet out of it. It just closes back up around. What are you doing with the situations you're in, folks? Are you stuck in them? Are you growing in them? Because God's called us to grow right where we are.